Good morning, and welcome to the Quadrant Four Systems Corporation Full Year Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. This presentation contains forward-looking statements that reflect Quadrant Four Systems Corporation's plans and expectations. In this presentation and related comments by company management, words like expect, anticipate, estimate, forecast, objective, plan, goal, position, equate, and similar expressions are used to identify forward-looking statements representing management's current judgment and expectations about possible future events. Management believes these forward-looking statements and the judgments upon which they are based to be reasonable, but they are not guarantees of future performance and involve numerous known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the company's actual results, performance, achievements, or financial position to be materially different from any future results, performance, achievements, or financial position expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Drew Desai, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today this morning on a Quadrant 4 investor call to review our business activities and progress. Our results capped off another exciting year for Quadrant 4. We delivered record performance, 20th consecutive quarter of EBITDA positive results, and we are continuing to add the best-known corporations in America as our clients. We have made significant strides in our goal to become a leading provider of cloud-based digital exchange platform and technology, and we saw a positive momentum across our sales force. Going forward, our continued transition to both software service and platform and service business model will have significant positive effect on our gross margins as well as our overall profitability from our business. Last year, in my opinion, was a critical year that defined a measured, a controlled transition plan based on the market validation we have been receiving from key target clients as well as the key exchange partners in this sector. I plan on first reviewing on this call overall financials and quantitative performance company delivered during 2014, and we'll go over some management's estimates to give you a better guidance for the year so far, and then I will go into the details of the progress we've been making towards specific initiatives of our business. Let me start our financial review by stating that company regrets the delays in the filing of these results of 2014 10K, although we believe 2014 has been a tremendous year of achievement and a very satisfying year from the performance standpoint. As most of you know, the company has changed its auditor and has been working with a team from New York City-based audit firm called Shulman LaBelle. While Shulman was completing our full financial year 2014 audit, certain circumstances arose where Shulman was engaged to conduct a re-audit of our full year 2013 financial. To date, Shulman has audited companies' 2013 and 2014 financials. In doing so, company's audit committee, as well as our external auditors, made certain recommendations to the management group, and management has implemented these corrective actions and enhanced Quadrant Four's internal controls, which has created a stronger platform for the checks and balances in future. We believe, as a result of that, today, the integrity of our audit financial has never been stronger. So let's first recap the results of the 2013 re-audit. And then we will talk about fourth quarter and then the full year 14. In the re-audit, The companies, in the reaudit of companies' full 2013 financials, there were certain restatements that were recommended. And I would like to go over that very quickly. I want to note and draw your attention that all of the restatements were non-cash in nature. The restatements did not affect any cash or account receivables on our balance sheet. The restatements did not affect any of the revenues that we recognize or earn on our income statements. The restatements did not change any of the cost of the revenues that we recorded as an expense towards the revenue. The significant changes that the auditor suggested in our 2013 re-audit exercise were primarily non-cash in nature, namely, they suggested a further impairment of certain intangible assets related to the customer list and the technology stacks that we acquired in previous transactions, which ultimately resulted in reduction of the value of this intangible that we are carrying in our books. The second block of changes arose from non-cash interest and derivative-related expenses and the warrant expenses accounted towards this conversion of certain debt items in 2013, which resulted in an increased additional paid-in capital block on our balance sheet. The detail of the changes as a result of the re-audit of 2013 can be found in the restatement summary note of 2014 Form 10-K. Now let me turn the attention to our results for the fourth quarter. 2014 fourth quarter, the total revenues were approximately $13,050,000, and which marks an increase of 42% over the same period year before in 2013. Our fourth quarter EBITDA was very strong at $2.6 million approximately, and that represents an increase of over 90% for a similar period the year before. Now, talking about the full year 2014, we reported a total revenue of $48.5 million approximately, representing an increase of 30% over the revenue we earned in year 2013, which was reported at $37.3 million. Our EBITDA for the full year 2014 is approximately $6.5 million, which represents an increase of 48% to the prior year, which is 2013 EBITDA of $4.4 million. Similarly, we saw an increase in our gross margin for the full year 2014, which came out around 36% as compared to 31% of the full year 2013, which is 500 basis point improvement. Company during 2014 had a capitalized research and development which came around approximately $2 million, and we expensed research and development charges of approximately $2.5 million. These metrics are right in line with the guidances that we have had provided previously during the year, in 2014 and 15. Although we are not currently fully reporting and we haven't caught up our 10-Qs this year, I'd like to take this opportunity to provide you with the financial guidance regarding how we have been performing this year. In the first quarter 2015, we estimate the revenues are going to be approximately $13.6 million and an EBITDA is expected to come around $1.9 million for the quarter. We expect the gross margin for the first quarter of 2015 to be around 13.8%, and we expect to be positive net income, very modestly, I might add, at about $150,000 for the first quarter 2015. Now, looking at the second quarter performance so far, Our estimates suggest that we will do approximately $13.1 million in revenues. EBITDA for the second quarter 2015 will come close to $1,650,000. We would estimate our gross margin to come around 41% for the second quarter. And again, we will expect to be net income positive for the second quarter, roughly around $200,000. In summary, the year-to-date performance for 2015, our estimates for the first two quarters for the revenue is around $26.7 million approximately, with a contributory gross margin of about 40% for the first 6 months of the operation. The cumulative year-to-date EBITDA will come around $3.6 million with a net income positive of $350,000 roughly. So now let me move my remarks to review with you the business activities and give you some specific developments. There are several significant developments that we witnessed in 2014. Our sales effort remains strong and focused in 2014, where we added over half a dozen new clients. These are the strategic clients I'm talking about, with each of which gives us the potential of becoming a multi-million dollar account for us as we move forward. In 2014, we grew our sales force and client service organization by approximately 20%, and we are seeing a continued momentum going into 2015. In 2014, we continued to increase and diversify our client base, which now is approximately about 200 clients we are servicing. We renewed several strategic contracts with a whole host of clients. Approximately 70% of our current book of business came from repeat recurring relationships under long-term master services agreement and statement of work-related contracts. Around mid-2014, if you will recall, Quadrant 4 announced a long-term contract with the company Source Interlink Media, now renamed as the Enthusiast Network, also called TIN. TIN contract calls for the company to provide media platform services for a term of 5 years. The contract, which is valued at approximately about $50 million over a five-year term. We entered into the second year of the execution of the contract now. The TIN contract is performing extremely well, and we have been able to attain a significant gross margin improvements from this engagement, as we have recognized how to more effectively utilize the platform and resources to service these clients. With the proven media solution in place now, and a huge success story coming out of TIN, and the great referenceability in this account, our media unit is now poised to extend its additional client base, which includes both print and digital media players. We have invested significantly in resources and the development activity of our platform business. In the year 2014, we invested approximately $4 million in the platform-related business activities, creating and building out the technology and infrastructure to compete in this marketplace effectively. In 2015, we believe we would have completed about 70% of the technology pieces that have been envisioned with our initial blueprints of the platform requirement that we must put in place to compete strongly in these digital exchange marketplace. And we are expecting that by 2016, end of 2016, as much as 50% of revenue could come from our platform line of businesses. Let me provide you an update now specifically on the health exchange-related business activities now. Just to refresh everybody's memories, Quadrant 4 is targeting only private health exchange sector as opposed to the public and government exchanges. This sector has over 130 million lives getting benefits from employer-sponsored programs. We are targeting over 200 regional health plans and non-health plan providers and insurance companies, such as Blue Crosses and Aflac and so forth. We're targeting about 100-plus third-party administrators, marketeers, plan managers, and the health insurance brokerage community. Our revenue model in this line of business stays at fixed upfront implementation and customization fees, followed by a long-term recurring per member, per month revenue stream, and the range for the per member, per month is anywhere between $2 to $4 list price. And the range is due to the fact that each installation, each exchange application may vary in the scale, scope, and the functionality. Earlier this year, we developed a strong relationship with a company called HealthSmart Holding Company, which is one of the largest third-party administrators in America. On a monthly basis, we are now beginning to see about 3 to 5 new HealthSmart employer groups coming onto our platform while we are working out on a broad-based strategy to retrofit HealthSmart's current book of business to come onto Quadrant 4 systems. The base business, the base book of business HealthSmart is servicing includes a little over 1.2 million members for the lives they are managing benefits for. We are also developing COBRA-related exchange partnership with them, and we are looking to expand our exchange functionality in the areas such as claims analytics, consolidated invoicing, and the learning tools for members and the consumers of the benefits through application of our proprietary trademark technology modules such as One Invoicing and Reach and Teach modules. All of you know how complex Affordable Care Act is and the implications of the employer mandates and how confusing it can get. And as a result of that, to help some of our employer groups in the plan, we are now launching an ACA compliance and audit solutions through our resources and the platform services. One America, who is also one of our strategic exchange partners, we are starting to see expansion in the deployment of our technology in their book of business. We're starting to see an expansion there, seeing about 8 to 10 new employer groups coming onto our benefit technology platform every month. In another recent significant development arising out of our ongoing sales cycle with regional health plans, which includes several Blue Cross Blue Shields organizations, we have forged a very strategic relationship with a specialty marketing company that is affiliated with as many as 9 Blue plans. We have started onboarding several employer groups with this marketing company. Recently, we onboarded 25 employer groups, and every month we are starting to see that group count increasing from this relationship. This relationship alone provides us access to multi-million lives that we can target to onboard on our exchange solution. We are an exclusive solution provider as far as the exchange is concerned with this entity. You might have heard me describe our unique differentiator in this space as we are the only company providing what we call a hybrid exchange. A hybrid exchange is a platform that provides a common chassis for both group enrollment as well as individual enrollment in a true marketplace sense, in a true marketplace setting that deals with all health, supplemental, non-health, and voluntary products. We are also working with in our attempt to broaden our go-to-market strategy and the distribution channels, we're also working with the leading human resources, human capital management, payroll, and enterprise accounting software providers to establish direct interface to benefits module of QHICS. Specific case in point, for example, we are exploring integration into the SAP SuccessFactor modules that we are currently looking into that will allow us access to directly deploy benefits module of QHICS hybrid product into their installed base. As we expand our go-to-market initiative, we will establish this year specific exchanges aimed towards the affinity group. This is the population of our workforce that is self-paying, such as contract laborers or the movie and television workers and so forth. Now, let me talk a little bit about our education group, which is our newest initiative. I have over the last 4 or 5 months gotten many calls and a lot of interest and enthusiasm from the market on that sector. So I want to just take this moment to review what we're doing there. there is a pent-up demand in this sector for new tools and technology to help improve quality of education and a better reporting system. We believe our exchange technology is very well suited to deliver a comprehensive cloud-based platform that will address the needs of different stakeholders, such as school administrators, teachers, students, and parents all alike, in the area of analytics, progress monitoring, adaptive assessment, intervention, and reporting. Leveraging from our health exchange platform and our most recently acquired Brainchild asset, we launched a education exchange platform earlier this year. Our initial focus with the education exchange is K through 12, kindergarten through 12th grade segment. In this market is approximately about 15,000 school districts. Our cloud-based scalable exchange platform allows connected tools and applications to deliver a personalized educational experience to learners of all age. In 2014, Quadrant4 announced the acquisition of Brainchild, a leading provider of the web-based learning tools for K through 12 grades. Brainchild has a large recurring customer base. They distribute their solution in over 1,000 of schools across 400 school districts. We believe the combination of the Brainchild instructional tools into a company's exchange platform technology gives Quadrant4 for a very competitive, very strong edge in marketing our education solutions to over 70 million students throughout the U.S. Our platform will not only give cloud-based ubiquitous access to best-in-the-class instructional and academic contents and tools. It will give better analytics for reporting the progress of the schools and students. And it will create a set of tools for adaptive learning. But it will also build the ecosystem that will ultimately build vertical cloud-based education community of various stakeholders who will come on the exchange to improve the quality of education and conduct commerce across these exchange platforms. We're happy to announce that the Brainchild technology integration into the exchange platform is now complete. A host of critical partnerships are being forged, and we have made beta version of our education exchange available for starting trials with several strategic, meaningful, sizable, and forward-looking school districts. Education unit of Quadrant 4 intends to have between 4 and 6 districts enter into the sponsorship and trial agreement this year, which will cover a student population of over 100,000. Our ultimate revenue model here in this sector, it will be a fixed annual cost per school district and as a platform as a service and an additional software service component of anywhere between $1 and $1.50 per student per month from the uses and the instructional tool usage. In other words, the management is equally excited about the education unit, our ability to work these markets and provide a better solution to make difference in the lives of a lot of children in this country. Our strategy of assembling key set of base technologies, large-scale and skilled engineering resources, and gaining access to the market through a set of carefully carried out acquisitions that we finished earlier on in the life of the company, and then continuing to leverage these assets and realign them to our vision of software services and platform services based business plan is working quite well, as we have demonstrated in the last 5 years of continued growth and improved positioning. Our transition is continuing, and we believe that our software services and platform services based exchange technologies can make up a significant portion of our revenue as we move forward. As I mentioned, by the end of 2016, these revenues can become a lion's share of our total company's revenue as the adoption of these technologies and platform becomes reality. The markets we are targeting are very, very large and are experiencing a high degree of disruption. We believe over time, these entire industry segments will succumb to new business models, needing new technology platforms to manage these disruptions. Horton4 has developed essential and superior technological plumbing that has a universal application across the industry segments, giving us a great leverage. With layering of the industry-specific logic, industry-specific interfaces and taxonomy that we can lay over this foundation, we believe our opportunity is going to get bigger and bigger. In 2016, we believe Horton4 will be ready to be compared to sizable household names in this platform as service and software service players. In summary, Horton4, my partners and my team and my management and the company is very, very proud to have delivered the strong fourth quarter in 2014 and a full year 2014, proving the fundamentals of our business and highlighting the underpinning of the exciting business proposition ahead of us. We have a solid momentum going into 2015, and with a sharp focus on cloud-based SaaS and PaaS-based exchanges and willingness to forge creative partnerships. We are working very hard to enhance our ability to capitalize on these substantial growth opportunities and participating in this multi-billion dollar market and continuing to work on improving our processes and controls and checks and balances so that we can create value for our shareholders and give them a solid set of results year after year. With that, I've concluded my prepared remarks, and I would like to take some questions now.
At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, you may press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question will come from Michael Kay of Kay Associates.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for a very optimistic report. I have a few questions. Am I correct in saying that it could be that the market, the educational market, could actually supersede the healthcare one in terms of revenues and potential profits? Also, Would you please comment on the financial strength of the company in terms of, you know, current assets, liabilities, and if you foresee any need for, you know, additional financing, either through debt or, you know, additional shares?
Sure, Michael. Wow. This is a loaded question, but a very good question at the same time.
Those are the only ones I ask.
Let me just dissect it. There are four questions that you asked, Michael. Number one, what do we think about the education opportunity relative to the health opportunity? As I said, they're both multi-billion-dollar opportunities, and they both represent significant advantage, technological advantage that we have, because we're not carrying the old legacy baggages in either of these two markets. As far as what's my prediction relative to which one will be bigger versus not bigger, you know, if everything goes right, again, my estimate was, you know, three years down the line, both of these business units can deliver $100 million top-line revenue for us through the conventional software service and platform and service type of gross margin. So we are positioning ourselves for both of these play with equal importance and equal careful planning. So that's number one. Your second question was, what do we think about the financial resources for the company? As you see our balance sheet, I mean, or if you take a look at our long-term liabilities, in fact, our total liabilities is roughly about two times our EBITDA, which is our cash flow. So we believe that our cash flow is not leveraged quite as much as you would like to see. So there is a little bit of room there. And as far as do we need any additional capital or what's our thought there, as I described in my remarks, I mean, these are extremely large opportunities that we are working. And our goal is to be recognized as industry leaders. So now that we have done a lot of investment into our technology, we would like to continue to maintain that two-year head start that we have had. So we'll continue to invest in our R&D, and now we're going to pay special attention to developing our marketing arm and the sales force, and I think we will be very careful in terms of how much more money we want to invest. But as the affordability grows, as the value of our equity grows, we will make those right decisions relative to the investment and the rate of return at which these investments can pay off. So these are good problems to have. I don't have a specific timetable when and how much money we will spend.
Okay, so you don't think there'll be a need, at least in the short term, for additional financing via issuance of more shares or increase in debt?
We will be opportunistic. I mean, there are significant initiatives that we'd like to fund. I mentioned we would like to establish two more exchanges to get in front of some of the very fragmented, employer base. So we will make those decisions as those plans get solidified. And as much as we like to be able to fund these initiatives from the cash flow, sometimes we may not be able to fund them through the cash flow in the interest of time, and we may do some small amounts of, capital raise, either through debt or through equity, depending upon how the markets are behaving at that time.
Okay, thank you. It was very comprehensive and detailed information. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one at this time. Our next question will come from Satyan Shah. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Drew. How are you?
Good, Satyan. How are you? Good to see you here.
Yeah. I think thanks again for all the detailed explanation. I thought that was thorough, and very glad that some of the accounting issues are sort of behind Quadrant 4 now. But sort of going forward, can you give a better sense of what you feel the revenue estimates might look like for 2015? And then going forward, when should investors start seeing the trickle-through effect of the 1.1 million odd lives that you're going to be getting from HealthSmart? When should those all sort of transfer over to Quadrant 4? And do you see possible other future business coming from HealthSmart?
Okay, great question. So the first part of the question was not what now, second?
In terms of your revenue estimates.
The revenue estimates. As I laid out, we can say with a fair degree of certainty that half the year is behind us, and I'm sorry for the delayed information here, but in my remarks I said that we are a little over 20, we are close to 27 million for the first half of the year, $350,000 net income, and we are $3.6 million EBITDA positive income. So if you double from there, that gives you a sort of a basic run rate, but with the caveat that generally speaking, our third and fourth quarter has been stronger than first and second quarter. So I'm not in a position to give you the full year estimate just yet, but
right.
you could just read between the lines where we are headed. That's number one. And number two, specifically on the retrofit and the making the lives effective on this thing, just let me point out that for all of this hype and everything else that's going on in the exchange marketplace, last year overall only 6 million people enrolled in the exchanges. That includes the government exchanges as well. Okay, so I think the programs are solid, the commitments are great. With the Supreme Court decision of I think the second shoe has fallen. So and the employer mandates are not going to be pushed around any further. So I think all of these things are kind of pointing towards a sort of a little more predictive adoption and the onboarding schedules for the remainder of 2015 and 2016, in my opinion. Now, what has happened is a lot of our third-party administrators, including HealthSmart and some of the health plans, they had a very mixed bag of current book of business that was booked and earned at a sort of with a different assumptions relative to the costs and expenses of the systems and what have you. So I think to give you a very specific answer that, we are working through some ideas on how to make A, logistically and mechanically those onboarding happen quickly, and B, perhaps even maybe make some financial and economic adjustments relative to the implementation and upfront onboarding expenses, both on their side and our side, so that we can get those things out of the way and then bring them onto the system. So everybody's interested in making this thing happen sooner than later, but there are some ground realities. There are some complicated issues that we have to carefully work through it. So the best thing that I can tell you that we are the choice of the for the entire book of business. We are the exclusive partner. They're extremely happy with whatever onboarding that has happened, and we have shown our willingness to work very flexibly to come up with a total plan that everybody wants to see a flash cut that, they pick up these 1.2 million lives and move them over and push it through. But the reality is it never happens that way. You know that. And I think we are seeing a very positive momentum, not just from the HealthSmart, but everywhere else. I think we are starting to see a trickling in effect. Like I said, on an average, we are picking up anywhere between 20 and 25, maybe 30 employer groups. That roughly turns into one employer group a day that is now coming on board. I mean, some of them are very small, like 50 people, and some could be as many as 500,000 people. So I think it's going to snowball over next 18 months.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And our next question will come from Tom Truff.
Good morning, Drew. It's good talking with you.
Thanks, Tom.
I have just two very basic questions I wanted to understand, and these have to do with with the public learning more about your company and everything. You used to be a client with the